Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every hair is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:23. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Okay. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Amen. You know, we've tried to explain this, right? Okay, teaching order. Amen. In the gatherings. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've been looking around God's word at the local church. Amen. Okay, at the church of Christ in the local sense. Amen. The ecclesia as the local church. So what we've done in the previous sessions is to carry out multiple word studies. Amen. In order to foster our understanding as to what the local church is. Okay, we saw the word synagogue, right? Okay, that is used together with ecclesia, okay, to explain the gatherings. Hallelujah. Okay, used majorly in the book of Acts, right? By Luke. Okay, then we saw Paul's sunekomai. Do you remember that? Okay, which describe a coming together. So, gatherings or sunago would describe the gathering, right? Okay, then sunekomai is much more particular, okay, describing a coming together as one. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we said that a local church is where we are all one. Amen. One mind, right? One heart, one spirit. Okay, we have everything in common. Okay, we'll see that much more in this service anyways. Okay, but you know, a local church is where everyone thinks alike. Amen. We all have the same vision. Hallelujah. And the same goals, spiritually speaking now. Amen. You know, some of us are lawyers, some of us are doctors. Amen. So we do not have the same goals as in our secular professions, right? But when it comes to the things of God, we all have the same vision. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The same goals. Okay, so in this service, we want to continue along these same lines. Okay, still looking at painting a clear picture of what exactly a local church is. Amen. As well as what it entails. Okay, so what we want to do now is we want to now get into the teaching. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, well, now we look at what the local church is properly. Amen. Now, are you ready now? Okay. Now, a local church simply is a body of Christians within a specific location. That is a local church. Okay, a body of Christians within a specific location. Now, you know that while there is the universal body of Christ, right? The universal church of Christ, which comprises of every Christian everywhere, right? Okay, there is also a local church. Do you follow that? Okay, so there is the universal church, everyone everywhere who is a Christian, who at some point has put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a part of. Okay, but that universal church now has a local expression. Do you follow that? So it would be unwise to say I'm part of the universal church, but I don't have a local church. Do you follow that? Okay, you must have a local church. Local means where you are. Praise the Lord. Okay, where you are. You see that the concept of the local church has never, okay, never been dissociated from the church as a whole. Okay, never. From the church as a whole. You see that right from the beginning of the church in Acts, local churches already existed. Hallelujah. Okay, you see that Acts 2 tells us that 3,000 people or 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost. Let's see that. Acts 2:40. Okay, please, I need you to be very handy with your Bible, okay? Acts 2:40. Okay, and says, and with many words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word, that is Peter's word, right? You remember he had gotten up to preach, hallelujah, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls, or you can say 3,000 persons, okay, were added to them. You follow that? So this was at the establishment of the church. You follow that? This was at the establishment of the church. Now look at what happens immediately after they are saved. Immediately. You see that they are enrolled into the local church at Jerusalem. Immediately. Look at Acts 2:42. Okay? And they continued steadfastly, underline that, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You see that? In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now for the four, now all who believed were together. Come on. You see that? All who believed were together. Underline that, okay? And had all things in common. Underline that. In common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now for the six, so continuing daily. Underline that. Daily with one accord. Underline that, okay? One accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house. Underline that, house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. Underline that. Added to the church daily those who were being saved. Underline that. Who were being saved. You see that? So those who were saved joined others who were saved. Do you see that? Those who were saved joined others who were saved. There is no such thing as an isolated Christian. Do you follow that? There is no such thing as an isolated Christian. You must be a part of a body of believers. Do you follow that? Do you see that? Okay, now you find that this local church at Jerusalem then continued to grow and expand. Okay, you know there was a local church at Jerusalem, right? Where the church began. Now this local church began or continued to grow and expand. Look at Acts 4:4. Acts 4:4. Okay. However, many of those who had believed the word and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Underline that. 5,000. So you see from 3,000, right, to 5,000 Christians at the Jerusalem church. Okay, then we saw more increase. Look at Acts 5:14. Look at the book of Acts. Okay, thank you. Acts 5:14. Say, Acts read the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. And some people don't know. So I just had to confirm. Okay, Acts 5:14. Okay. And believers were increasingly added. Underline that. See that? Increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Hallelujah. Underline multitudes, okay? So you see more increase, right? Okay, look at Acts 6:7. Acts 6:7. Okay, then the word of God spread. Underline that, okay? Spread. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Underline that. Multiplied greatly, okay? Multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many, underline that, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So you see an expansion, right? A growth, right? Okay, then this expansion then led to other local churches created in other areas. Follow that? This expansion then led to other local churches created in other areas. Look at Acts 9:31. Okay, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, underline that, okay? Judea, Galilee, and then Samaria, okay? At peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied, okay? So we find churches at Galilee and Samaria. You follow that? Now, those were local churches, okay, at specific locations. Now, you see that Acts 8 shows us Philip's missionary work at Samaria. Now, remember that this was fueled by Saul's persecution of the church, right? Okay, Saul, as it was then called, persecuted the church, right? Okay, then this led to them scattering, right? Okay, then Philip goes to Samaria on a missionary work. Look at Acts 8:4. Okay, it says, therefore those who were scattered because of the persecution, right? Okay, went everywhere preaching the word. Okay, so they didn't run away, amen, and hide. They just left their location, amen, and continued ministry. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, underline that, okay? City of Samaria, and preached Christ. Hallelujah. I love how this is said. He preached Christ to them. Underline that, okay? Preach Christ. Okay? And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Okay, so you see, Philip does ministry at Samaria, and a lot of people are saved, right? Okay, now you see that those who are saved by Philip's preaching were then enrolled into a local church. Okay, look at verse 14 of that same chapter. Verse 14. Okay, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, now look at this, they sent Peter and John, apostles, right, to them. You follow that? So they are saved, right? And immediately leaders are sent to them from the church so that discipleship could begin. Come on. Do you see that? Immediately. So that is the pattern that we find in the early church. Okay? You get a man saved, you get him to a local church. Do you see that? So God expects everyone who puts faith in his son to join himself with some local assembly. Do you follow that? God expects everyone who puts faith in his son to join himself with some local assembly. Okay, in Acts 11, we find a local church at Antioch. Look at Acts 11:25. There, okay, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, okay, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Underline that, okay, Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church, underline that, with the church, and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, okay, Antioch. So you see, there's a church at Antioch, right? Okay, now this church is mentioned again, Acts 13. Please turn there. Acts 13:1. It says, now in the church, underline that, the church that was at Antioch, underline at Antioch, okay, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Okay, so you see, Paul and Barnabas were a part of this church. Do you see that? They were a part of this church. Now, it would seem like Paul used the church at Antioch as his primary place of assignment. Do you follow that? As his primary place of assignment. Okay, he was fond of going back there often. You see that Acts 14. Let's see that Acts 14:26. Acts 14:26. Okay, from there they sailed to Antioch. Underline that. Sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, underline that, okay? Gathered the church together, they reported all that the Lord God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So it seems like Antioch was Paul's local church. Do you follow that? Remember that it was at this same church that he was commissioned for ministry, right? Acts 13:1-3. So he kept going back there. Are you following this? Okay, look at Acts 15:35. Acts 15:35. Okay, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch. Underline that. Remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. You see that? So he would go there often and preach. Look at Acts 18:22. Acts 18:22. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he, that is Paul, went down to Antioch. You see that? Kept going back. Do you see that? Okay, after he had spent some time there, underline that, spent some time there, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Okay, so Paul established churches, right? Paul established churches, but he had a local church. You follow that? That he always went back to, often. So you see that Paul was a committed member at his local church. Do you see that? Okay, we need more Pauls today. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 16. So with all the ministry he was doing, you see how the local church he went back to. Do you see this? Okay, look at Acts 16. Okay, in Acts 16, we then hear of churches. Now remember how this spread, right? From Jerusalem, right? And it kept increasing, right? Increasing to neighboring nations, right? Then all around the world. Then in Acts 16, we then hear of churches. Acts 16:5. It says, so the churches, underline that, okay, churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Okay, so several local churches had been planted at this point. Okay, we now had different local churches all around the world. Hallelujah. Okay, and it has continued like that ever since. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we have one here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so from all of this, we find these characteristics of a local church. So you may use a subheading here and also bullet point. Okay, you use bullet points when you are listing, okay? Your entire note should not be a bullet point. Hallelujah. Okay, just when you are listening. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we want to look now at the characteristics of a local church. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Now, first of all, a local church is a body of those who have put faith in Christ. Do you follow that? It is a body of those who have put faith in Christ. Look at Acts 2:41. We keep coming back here. Acts 2:41. there. Then those who gladly received his word. Okay, that is Peter's word, right? Or you can say his preaching. Okay, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So these ones received the preaching of the gospel. Do you follow that? So the local church is a group of saved men. Do you follow that? Those who have received and believed upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 44 of that same chapter. Verse 44. It says, now all who believed, underline that, all who believed on what? The gospel, right? Okay, were together, underline that, together, okay, and had all things in common. So we find a gathering of believers in Acts 2. Now that's a local church. Amen? It's a local church. Then verse 46 of that same chapter, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Underline that. Being saved. So in this church, what would you find? Saved men. Do you get it? So a body of those who have put faith in Christ. That is a local church. Hallelujah. Anyone like that here? Anyone like that here? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then next. Okay. The local church has definite leadership. Do you follow that? The local church has definite leadership. It is not where we are all leaders. Amen. It is not where we are all leaders. You observe that the early church had leaders. Amen. Look at Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. Okay, we're there now. Okay, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Underline the apostles. Do you see that? And fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So there were apostles. Do you see that? Definite leadership. You see that in Acts 6, where there was a dispute, there were those who were allowed to settle the dispute. Look at Acts 6:1. Okay, Acts 6:1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the alienists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So you see a dispute, right? Fight. Okay, now look at 2. Then the 12, underline that, the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint. Who is appointing? We, the leaders. Do you see that? Over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Do you see that? So not everyone could give their opinion. There were leaders, the 12. Do you follow that? They were the ones who would make decisions, right? They were the ones who would appoint in the local church. Okay? They were those who would stand up to speak in the gatherings. Look at Acts 15. Acts 15 mentions the apostles and the elders. Okay? Apostles and elders. Acts 15:6. It says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Underline apostles, okay, and elders, and consider this matter. Now you know that here, the matter here was whether or not Gentiles needed to be circumcised, right, to receive salvation. You see that verses 1 to 5 of that same chapter. Okay, and you notice that once there was a dispute, they knew who to tell. Amen. They knew who to tell. Look at verse 1, Acts 15. Okay, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. Now look at this. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now is this true? No. I mean, you should give them the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Listen to it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, now look at this, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them, now look at this, should go up to where? Jerusalem. Now that was the headquarters of the church. Do you follow that? So they fought about doctrine. Now who did they go to? The headquarters. Are you following this? Now to who? The apostles and elders. Do you see that? Those were the leaders about this question. So they knew those who had the authority to settle disputes. Okay? It was the leaders, not the church members. Do you follow that? Then having told the leaders, they awaited their decision. You follow that? Then you see that the leaders then came together to deliberate. Look at verse 6. Okay, they came together to deliberate. It says, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Do you get it now? You get it now. Now you notice that only certain persons were allowed to deliberate. Right? The apostles and the elders. So there were persons who would make decisions for the entire local church while the others listened quietly. Do you follow this? Then see verse 7. You see that Peter speaks first. That is order. Come on. Peter speaks first. Verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up. You see that? So someone will stand upright and talk. Okay? And said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth, okay, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So Peter speaks, right? Okay, he gets up and he talks. And you see that after Peter, James speaks. Look at verse 13, Acts 15. Okay, verse 13. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Now, James was the pastor. Do you follow that? At Jerusalem. He was a pastor there. So he gave the final word. Are you following this? You see that verses 14 to 21 of that same chapter. Verses 14 to 21. It says, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will rebuild. And I'll rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll rebuild his ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. 18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. And look at 19. Therefore I judge. Come on. That's it. Like we say in Nigeria, matter don't finish. Amen. That's it. He gave the final word because he was a pastor there. Do you follow that? So he had the right to judge. Now that word judge here, it translates the Greek krino. K-R-I-N-O. The last O accentuated. Krino. Which means to decide. To make a decision to pronounce. Okay, to decide, to make a decision, to pronounce. This same word is used in classical Greek for how a judge decides a case in the law court. Okay, so James gave the final verdict. You follow that? You see, he told them what they shouldn't do. Amen? He told them what they shouldn't do. Look at verse 19. Okay, that we should not. You see that? You see that? Okay, trouble those who are among the Gentiles who are turning to God. You see that he also told them what they should do. Amen. He told them what they should not do. He also told them what they should do. Look at verse 20. But that, come on, okay, we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from Moses has had throughout many generations, those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. And that settled the matter. You follow that? The pastor had spoken. Okay? So there was order in the early church. You see that? No one could just stand up and give suggestions. or his opinions. No, the leaders called the shots. Are you following this? Okay, then verses 22 to 23 speaks of the apostles and the elders again. Look at 22. Then he pleased the apostles and the elders. Before Uncle, Pastor Tesoro. Amen. Amen. Okay, with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, okay, who was also named Barnabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Now look at 23. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, underline apostles, elders, okay, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. So James gave the verdict, and the leaders under him followed suit. That's order. Amen? Amen? Okay, so there is definite leadership, definite rulership in Christ's church. Okay, there are certain persons distinguished to govern. Did you get that? There are certain persons distinguished to govern. Look at Philippians 1:1. Look at what Paul does here. Now look at this. Philippians 1:1. I want you to see this, okay? Please turn your Bible there. Philippians 1:1. It says, Paul and Timothy, born servants of Jesus Christ. Now look at this. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Now look at this. With the bishops and deacons. How many of you see what Paul does here? Look at it again. Don't rush. Okay? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. So, do you see what he does here? He differentiates. You see, you have to pay attention to detail to see that. Do you see what he does here? He differentiates between the saints and their bishops. Do you see this now? Okay? He says the saints with the bishops. Okay, so he makes a distinction between them. They are not the same. Hallelujah. They are not the same. The bishop is an overseer. Okay, one who rules or presides over a local church. Okay, then we also have the deacons, right, who assist him or her. You follow that? So leadership characterizes a local church. Do you see that now? Leadership. Hallelujah. Okay, so we'll put a full stop on this for now. Okay, we'll look at this in much more detail in this very teaching. Okay, as we proceed, we'll see more of this on leadership within the local church. So is this clear? Okay, definite leadership. You know who the pastor is, who the leaders are. Do you follow that? You know those who settle disputes. When there's an issue, you know who to go to. Do you get it? Okay, thank you very much. Then next, the local church is a body of people believing the same things. Hallelujah. The local church is a body of people believing the same things. There is common faith and practice within the local church. Look at Acts 2:42 again. This verse is already tired of us. Says he only me. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:42 again, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? Acts 2:42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, underline that, the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So this means that they all listen to the same teachings. That's what they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine means. Follow that? They were all listening to the same teachings. So no one was listening outside what the apostles were teaching them. Do you see that? No one was listening outside what the apostles were teaching them. You know, if Luke were alive today and Luke wanted to write this, this is how Luke would say it. Luke would say, they continued listening to the apostles' messages. Amen. They continued reading their books. Amen. Continued attending their meetings. You follow that? Okay. So there is common faith in the local church. Common faith. Okay. We all listen to the same teachings. And we all believe the same things. That is a local church. Now, I've told you, if I ask her what is righteousness, our definition of righteousness must be the same as us. Do you get it? Why? Because they both are expected to be listening to the same preacher. Do you get it? Okay, when she now starts to tweak her own, you say, what's your problem? Amen? Okay, there is common faith. We all believe the same things. Look at Titus 1:4. That is a local church. Hallelujah. Titus 1:4. Please turn your Bible there. Okay, it says to Titus, a true son in our common faith. Do you see that? Underline that, okay? Common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, common faith here refers to a common or shared belief system in the Greek. Okay? A common or shared belief system. That's a faith there, okay? A belief system. Now, that's the church. You see that? Common faith. We all believe the same things. Say, in the church? In the church, we all believe the same things. Do you see that? Anyone who refuses to believe the same things is causing division in the local church. I know that's actually what it means to be an heretic. Amen? Heretic, gotten from the Greek heretikos, means a causer of divisions. Okay, heretikos. That's H-A-I-R-E-T-I-K-O-S. Okay, that's where you get the English word heretic. It means a causer of divisions. He wants to say something different from what the pastor is saying. You know, there are people like that in church. Okay, it's not only pastor who knows, me too, I know. There are people like that in the church. And the aim is to win others to his side. Okay, he now begins to create sects within the local church. You see, a brother in church is now saying, Sister Jane, how are you? Okay, we are having Bible study after church. Nibu. He said, does pastor know about it? He said, no. But it's just some brothers in church. We just want to gather. Why? Heretic. Why? Say, no, pastor is trying, but there are some things that there are some deep revelations that pastor is not really saying like that. I was in my room yesterday. The Holy Ghost appeared to me like a man. And he told me some deep things in Revelation. Heretic. You follow that? And a divisive person. He wants to divide the church of Christ. And you see that Paul tells us what to do with such a person. Look at Titus 3. Okay? Paul tells us what you do with such a person. Titus 3:10. Okay? Are you here? Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Titus 3:10. Are you there? Okay. Reject a divisive man. Do you see that? That is a heretic in the Greek. Reject him. Okay. After the first and second admonition. So when he starts, you warn him, right? Say, what are you doing? Says, pastor, aware of this? No. Then you shouldn't be doing this. Then he continues again. After that, you reject him. 11 says, knowing that such a person is warped. See that? And sinning, being self-condemned. So we stay away from such a person. Amen. Block him on WhatsApp. Hallelujah. Don't go to his house again. In church, don't sit close to him. Amen. So people are very funny. In the church, while the pastor is preaching, they are writing something else in their notes, and then they are showing it to their seat member, person next to them. Say, it's true, but look at this. Look at it from this angle. Say, Arae Yasha, are you fine? No. In the local church, we all believe the same things. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not divisive. Say, I'm not a heretic. Say, I'm not divisive. I don't cause divisions in my local church. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Okay, thank you very much. Then next, the local church is a gathering of Christians to perform some spiritual act. Okay, so we don't just gather. We gather to do some things. Do you get it? Spiritual activities go on within the local church. Now, several spiritual activities. Okay, you know, it could be the hearing of God's word. Amen. Which is what is going on now. Hallelujah. Okay, Acts 2:42. These verses are so fun. Acts 2:42. Are you there? Okay, well, everything we are teaching, we see it there. Okay, so that's why we keep going back. Okay, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine means teaching, okay? And fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So the people would gather to be taught. You see that? Okay, so we can call this a teaching meeting. Follow that? Okay, look at Acts 11:25. Okay, then Barnabas departed from Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church, underline that, with the church, and taught a great many people, okay? And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So there was teaching at Antioch, right? Okay, look at Acts 18:11. Okay, it says, and he, that is Paul, continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now, this was at Corinth. Okay, you see that Paul taught a year and a half. Amen. Okay, teaching meeting for a year and a half. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts 27, okay? My favorite verse in Acts. Acts 27. Okay, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, underline that, okay? Spoke to them and continued his message, underline that. Continued his message until midnight, okay? Can we call this a teaching meeting? Okay, so he continued his preaching until midnight, okay? Then we also saw gatherings to pray in Acts. Okay, we also saw gatherings to pray in the book of Acts. Look at Acts 4:23. Okay, so these are things that happen within the local church, right? You've seen teaching, right? Okay, now see prayer. Okay, Acts 4:23. It says, and being let go, they came to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God. Now, what's that? Prayer, thank you very much. Now I've taught you that, right? Okay, and with one accord, underline that, one accord, and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And look at 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Can we call this prayer? Okay, by stretching out your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your only servant Jesus. Okay, look at 31. And when they are prayed, underline that. When they are prayed, the place where they were assembled together. So you see, a gathering, right? To pray was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Okay, we also find another prayer meeting in Acts 12. Okay. We also find another prayer meeting in Acts 12. Acts 12:12. Okay? It says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. Underline that. Gathered together praying. You follow that? Okay, so we've seen teaching, right? Then we've seen prayer. Then you see that 1 Corinthians 14 describes other spiritual activities that we find in the local church gatherings. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. Please turn there. It describes other spiritual activities that we find in the local church gatherings. Are you there? Look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Okay, how is it then, brethren? When you come together, each of you has a psalm, underline that psalm, okay, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, and an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So they are demonstrations of the Spirit as well. Do you see that? Demonstrations of the Spirit. Okay, there is prophecy. Look at verse 27. Okay, it says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret, underline that, let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent and let him speak to himself and to God. let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. Okay? But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Look at 31. For you can all prophesy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we all can prophesy. Okay? It says, one by one, that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. Underline that. All the churches of the saints. So we see prophecy within the local church, right? So we can have this. Amen. I said we can have this. Amen. Colossians 3:16. Okay, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And he says, teaching and admonishing. Underline that. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. Underline that. Psalms and hymns. Underline hymns. And spiritual songs. Underline that. Okay. Spiritual songs. Singing with grace in our heart to the Lord. So there is singing of spiritual songs when we gather together. We can sing spiritual songs when we gather together. There is also singing in the spirit. Amen. Singing in the spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:15. 1 Corinthians 14:15. Okay. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray also with the understanding. Amen. I will sing with the spirit. Underline that. Sing with the spirit. And I also sing with the understanding. See that? So we can come together, we sing in understanding, right? That will be in English, right? Where we are. Amen. If he's in Spain, Spanish. Amen. That will be the understanding. Amen. And also in the spirit. That will be in tongues. Now you notice that in everything we've seen, there is nowhere that says we gather to watch movies. I hope you saw that. Okay, there was nowhere that said we gather to play football. Do you see that? Okay, so our gathering in the local church is not for frivolities. Okay, to play. Just have fun. Okay, it's not for frivolities. It is to walk in the light of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. It is to walk in the light of God's word. So our gatherings are reverential because of what we do when we gather. Do you get it? It's because of what we do that the gatherings are treated with reverence. Hallelujah. With reverence. Now you note that the ultimate aim of the local church gatherings is discipleship. Amen. Discipleship. You see, Jesus had spoken about this in Matthew 28. Please turn there. Matthew 28. Jesus spoke of making disciples. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:18. I wait for you. Please turn there. Okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. 19. Go therefore and make entrepreneurs. Footballers. Okay. Disciples. Hallelujah. Okay. Disciples there means students. Okay. In the Greek. Or mentees. Okay. Of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now how would this happen? This discipleship. Verse 20 tells us. It says teaching them. See that? Underline that. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay? Discipleship involves training the saved. Do you follow that? So it's not enough to just be saved. We thank God for salvation. Amen. But it's not enough to just be saved. Jesus expects saved men to be trained, grown, matured, and developed in the faith. Okay? Jesus expects saved men to be trained, grown, matured, and developed in the faith. Now, this would only happen within the local church. Okay, look at Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, or pastoring teachers, right? Okay, now where would you find all of this? This will be found within the local church, right? Okay, now observe why they were given. Why did Jesus give ministry gifts? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Come on, do you see that? Underline equipping, okay? For the edifying. Underline that, edifying. Edifying them means growing, hallelujah, of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, or you can say to a mature man. That's perfect in the Greek, okay? A mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, underline that, no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, underline that, grow up in all things, okay, grow up in all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, underline that, growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love. So you can summarize these verses as spiritual growth and ministry. Do you see that? Spiritual growth and ministry. The saint is grown so that he can grow others. That is the purpose of a local church. Do you see this now? Do you see this now? So ultimately, the local church is a training center. You know, I've told you this before. It is a training center where God's people are matured in the faith. Hallelujah. Okay? That is the reason for all our activities. Your spiritual growth. So everything we will do within the local church is for two things, so that you can grow and you can grow others. Do you get it? Now I've told you that my aim is that someday everyone in this church will be pastors. Now I've told you that before. It will happen, though. Amen? It will happen. Okay, if I do my job well, that should be the end goal. Hallelujah. Everyone, you will grow, then you will grow others. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay? Then next, okay, in the bullet point, the local church is a gathering of Christians in a given location. Okay? In a given location. You know, local means where you are, right? Okay, that's the meaning of a local church. And someone said, what's the name of your local church? I said, my church is not local. We're international. Ha! Ka, 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 ka. Praise the Lord. You are indeed international. Your pastor is an international pastor. Praise the Lord. Okay, local simply means where you are. It doesn't mean Arauco church. Okay, simply means where you are, okay? So, you are to have a church where you are. You follow that? In your locale. You see that Paul's epistles were written to specific local churches. Paul did not write to the body of Christ. Do you get it? He wrote to specific local churches. Do you get what I just said? Are you sure? Because someone can twist what I just said. Are you sure you got what I just said? Okay, thank you. Look at Romans 1:7. Hallelujah. Romans 1:7. Okay, to all, and those are Christians, okay, who are in Rome, underline that, who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, underline saints, okay, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, written to those at Rome, a specific location. Do you see that? That is a local church. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:1. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, now look at this, to the church of God which is at Corinth, underline that, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So you see a specific location. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:1. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Okay, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth. Underline that. Which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Okay, now these are specific churches, not the body of Christ. Okay, found in specific locations. You see that the Apostle James, okay, he writes his epistle to the assembly. Or we can call him Pastor James. Amen. He was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. He later wrote an epistle, James. Now look at that, James 1:1. He writes his epistle to the assembly. Are you following this? Okay, it says, James, a born servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, underline that, 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad, underline that, okay, scattered abroad, greetings. Okay, so they were scattered abroad because of persecution. Remember that? Okay, then you see that he later on explains who his audience are. Look at James 2:2. Okay, he tells us who his audience are. James 2:2. It says, for if there should come into your assembly. Come on. See that? He's underlined that, okay? Your assembly. A man with gold rings and fine apparel. And there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. So he wrote to a local assembly. Do you see that? A local church. Now you see that that church also had elders. Okay? The church James wrote to also had elders. Look at James 5:14. James 5:14. It says, is anyone among you, now that's the church is writing to, right? Okay, seek. So is anyone among the church I'm writing to seek? Now look at this. Let him call for the elders of the church. Come on. Underline that, okay? The elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now the elders are the spiritual leaders. Okay, they are pastors. So they were called elders in the early church. You see that Peter 2 speaks of elders and their flocks. Okay, Peter 2 speaks of elders and their church. Look at 1 Peter 5:1. 1 Peter 5:1. Are you there? Okay, it says, the elders who are among you, underline that. Elders who are among you, okay, that will refer to the church, right? Okay, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, who says, shepherd the flock of God. You see that? That will refer to the church, right? Okay, which is among you. So he's speaking to the elders now. Amen. So this portion is for pastors alone. You get it? Okay, serving as overseers, underline that, overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Okay, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, underline that, entrusted to you. So you see, they have oversight, right? Okay, but being examples to the flock, underline that, the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, appears, you receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So you see that Peter writes to a local church, right? That had pastors, that had elders. And also you see that the epistles of John were likely written to churches at Ephesus. Okay, the epistles of John were likely written to churches at Ephesus. Then in Revelation, we find letters to different local churches. In Revelation, okay, we find letters to different local churches. Now let's run through quickly. Look at Revelation 1:4. You don't have to go far, just go to the last book of your Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Revelation 1:4. Okay, John, to the seven churches, underline that, okay? the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So he writes to seven churches, right? Look at verse 11. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. So you see a specific location, right? In Asia. Now, in Asia, he now specifies again. He says to Ephesus. You see that? To Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So these were identifiable churches. You follow that? They were identifiable churches. You could pinpoint them. Okay? Where they meet and who their pastors were. You see that Revelation 2 and 3, he calls their pastors angels. Amen? Or messengers. You see that Revelation 2 1. Let's run through now. Revelation 2 1. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? You see that? Okay, look at verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? Look at verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, right? Okay, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, right? Okay, then Revelation 3:1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, right? Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? Okay, then verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These angels were the pastors. You follow that? Okay, they were the pastors. So they had leadership. Okay, the word angel can mean a messenger, okay? Alright, either human or divine, depending on the context. So here it refers to the pastors. Okay, human messengers to these churches. Okay, so we find a definite assembly in a definite location, right? With definite leadership. That is a local church. Okay, so you can't have a pastor who we can't identify. Do you get it? You can't belong to a church we cannot locate. Okay, you must have a pastor and a local church where you are. Do you see this now? They must be identifiable. We can pinpoint, okay, this is the pastor, this is the church, this is where they gather. Do you follow this? Hallelujah. Okay, then lastly, in your bullet point, okay, the local church is a gathering of believers who meet at a regular fixed time. Okay, who meet at a regular fixed time. Hallelujah. Okay, a gathering of Christians or believers who meet at a regular fixed time. Okay, you find that the early church was fond of meeting on the first day of the week, right? Okay, and this is where we have where we got today's Sunday service from. Amen. Okay, John 20:19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, underline that, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the apostles or disciples were assembled, underline that, assembled, okay, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace to you. So this gathering happened on the first day of the week. Do you see that? Now note that the first day of the Jewish week is Saturday, not Sunday, okay? The first day of the Jewish week is Saturday, not Sunday. Now look at Acts 27 as we begin to close now, gradually. Acts 27. Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Acts 27 as we begin to close. Okay? Now, on the first day of the week, underline that, okay? The first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So you see a gathering on the first day of the week, right? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 16:2. 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on the first day of the week, underline that. The first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. You see that? So collections at a gathering on the first day of the week. Now, this was done because our Lord Jesus Christ was raised on the first day. Okay, look at Matthew 28 verse 1. He was raised on the first day. Matthew 28:1. Okay, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week, underline that, the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Okay, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Now look at this, he is not here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, for he is risen. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Say he's risen. Praise the Lord. Okay, as he said. Oh, glory to God. As he said, I love that. Okay, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Underline that, okay? He is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I told you. You see that Mark as well records this incident. Okay, look at Mark 16:9. So you see, everything that happened here happened on the first day of the week, right? Okay, look at Mark 16:9. It says, "Now when he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, rose early." You see that? On the first day of the week. You see that? So he rose on the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven demons. Okay, so the church met on the first day of the week as a way to commemorate the resurrection. Do you see that now? Okay, simply as a show of honor. So the church says, our Lord was raised on the first day, right? So we too will gather every first day of the week. Do you get it? We will gather every first day of the week. Now, we picked Sunday since that is the first day of the Gregorian calendar, which we make use of. For the Jews, the first day will be Saturday, right? But for us, it is Sunday, right? Because we use the Gregorian calendar. So Sunday is the first day. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we have to meet only on Sundays. Okay, we have instances of the church meeting on other days of the week as well. Okay? Meeting on other days of the week as well, not just the first day of the week. Look at Acts 2:46. We're back here again. Acts 2:46. Okay? Please turn your Bible there as we're going to close now. So not just at the first day, okay? Several other days we can make use of. Acts 2:46. So continuing daily, underline that, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So at some point, the church was meeting every day. See that? Amen. Okay. Now in Acts 20, Paul held a meeting on a Wednesday. Amen. In Acts 20, Paul held a meeting on a Wednesday. Let's see that. Acts 27. Please turn there. We keep coming here as well. Acts 27. Please turn there. Please, I want you to turn there. I want you to see this, okay? Are you there? Acts 27. Okay, now on the first day of the week, underline that. Okay, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, on the first day of the week, what day would that be for the Jew? Saturday, right? Okay, thank you very much. Now, follow this. See verse 11. Now when he had come up, had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, underline that, even till daybreak, he departed. So that's the next day, right? Now what day would that be? Sunday. Thank you very much. Now follow closely. Look at verse 15. Okay? We sailed from there And the next day, now what's that? Monday, thank you. Okay, came opposite Caius. Now look at this. The following day, underline that. Okay, the following day, that, what would that be? Tuesday, thank you. Okay, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogilom. Okay, now look at this. The next day, what was that? Wednesday, hallelujah. Okay, we came to Miletus. Then see verse 17. From Miletus, he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So he called for this meeting on a Wednesday. Do you see that? Okay, this meeting was on a Wednesday. And you see that it was a teaching meeting. Look at verse 32 of that same chapter. Okay, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Underline that, okay? The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So Paul taught the Ephesian elders on a Wednesday. Okay, and you see that they also prayed together on that same day. Okay, they also prayed together on that same day. Look at verse 36 of that same chapter. Verse 36. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. You see that? Okay. So, teaching and prayer on a Wednesday. Hallelujah. Okay. So, there were other times that the church met aside the first day of the week. Do you see that now? Okay. Other times that the church met aside the first day of the week. But the church had a set day every week. Do you get it? Why? For the sake of discipline. Do you understand it? Okay, we can meet anytime, but there are set times for the sake of discipline. So there were set times of meetings. Okay, we gather on this day at this time. That's a local church. Do you follow that? Okay, and then you see that Hebrews 10 shows that this gathering was to be done continuously. Okay, continually. Hallelujah. Look at that. Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. 25 says, not forsaken, underline that, forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. Underline that. Assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. See that? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, that phrase, assembling together, translates the Greek episunagoge. Okay, episunagoge. Okay, that word we saw earlier on, right? Synagogue. Then you put epi in front of it, E-P-I. Okay, episunagoge. From sunagoge. That's E-P-I-S-U-N-A-G-O-G-E. Okay, which implies a gathering. Okay, so it's gotten from episunagoge, which is also derived from synagogue, okay, which implies a gathering. So the writer of Hebrews tells us here not to forsake the gathering. Do you see that? So the one who joins a local church must not miss any of its meetings. Do you see that? The one who joins a local church must not miss any of his meetings. It says don't forsake, right? The assembling of ourselves together. So do you see that there is a structure and order in the local church? Do you see that now? It is not where we just act anyhow we want. Do you follow this? There is structure. How things should be done. So we can't just choose to act wherever or however we want. Amen? So we must therefore begin to see the local church the way God sees it. Hallelujah. God honors the local church. Amen? God honors the local church. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. I love how a man of God says it. The local church is God's idea. Hallelujah. It's not man's idea. Amen. It is God's idea. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 as we close. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Okay. It says, do you not know that you, now you here is plural in the Greek. Right? Referring to the entire Corinthian church. Now, I've told you that before, right? okay, the entire Corinthian church are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, look at this, God will destroy him. Okay, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So the church is God's temple, and God protects it. Do you follow that? The church is God's temple, and God protects it. Now, there are two words for temple in the Greek. Okay, two major words for temple in the Greek. Now, the first is naos. N-A-O-S. Naos. And the second word is iron. Iron. That's H-I-E-R-O-N. Did you get that? Naos and iron. Okay, two words used for temple in the Greek. Now, iron is used for the entire temple. Do you follow that? The whole building itself. That is the iron. See how it's used, Matthew 12:6. Matthew 12:6. Okay? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple, the iron. So referring to the entire temple, the building. Do you get it? Okay, look at Luke 21:5. Luke 21:5. Then as some spoke of the temple, the iron. Okay, that's that word there, okay? How it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon that shall not be thrown down. Okay, so you see the word iron used there, speaking of the old temple. Do you follow that? The iron speaks of the old temple. Now, I've told you that the temple is divided, right, into the outer court and the most holy place. Remember that? Now, the outer court is where everyone has access to. You follow that? But the most holy place is where only the high priest has access to once a year. Okay? Now, this was where God manifested himself in the temple. You know, some people say that God dwells there. But, I've never really liked saying that. So, I'd rather say God manifested himself there. Do you get it? Okay, but some Bible scholars will tell you that God dwelt there. That statement. I just cringe a bit. Dwell? Manifested. Amen. Okay, so the most holy place was called the Nahus. Follow that? Now, the outer court, right? Then you have the most holy place called the Nahus. Or you can say the sacred place. You follow that? Now, see how Nahus is used at Luke 1:8. Luke 1:8. Please turn there quickly, okay? Luke 1:8. So it was that while he, now that is Zacharias, right? The father of John the baptizer, was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his Lord fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, temple here is Nahos. Do you get it? When he went into the Nahos of the Lord. Now, this is no longer the entire temple. Do you follow that? But the most holy part of it. Now, you see that verse 21 shows this. Verse 21 of that same chapter. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple, the Naos. So it was somewhere different. Do you see that? Still within the temple, but they could not enter. Now that is the Naos. Do you see that? The most holy place. Now they, that is the people, were in the Aaron. Can you see how you follow this? The people were in the Aaron, while Zacharias was in the Naos. So only the priest was allowed in the Naos. You follow that? It was sacred. Now follow this, I beg of you. Now back to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Let's read it again. So do you get the differences between the Naos and the iron? Okay, the Naos sacred, right? Where God manifested himself, or you can say dwelt. Amen. in some quarters. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 3:16 again. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, right? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, the good Bible student will ask, which temple? Right? Which one? Now, interestingly, the word temple here, Paul uses naos. Hallelujah! Do you see this? He uses the word naos. So, he uses the same word for the most holy place, right? Where God dwelt, right? Or manifested himself for the church. Hallelujah! Do you see this? Now, remember, this was the local church at Corinth. Right? So, you can read the text this way. Do you not know that you, that is the Corinthian assembly, are the most holy place of God? Hallelujah! You see that? Okay? And that the Spirit of God dwells in your assembly? Do you see this? He uses the same word for the holiest of all. Hallelujah! Okay? So, by using naos, Paul implies that the gathering is sacred. Do you see this now? God is there. Hallelujah. Say God is here. Say God is here. Hallelujah. I hope you know that this is not restricted to Corinth alone. Amen. This is true of every local assembly of saints. Every local assembly. Okay. Now, just like the naos of the Old Testament. Okay. God now dwells in the midst of local churches today. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the local church is sacred. Say Dazzle Church is sacred unto the Lord. Say God is here. Say God is here. Say God is here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That word naos, it literally means shrine in the Greek. Think about that. Shrine. Where one operates from. Now that is the local church. The local church is God's shrine. We can say. Hallelujah. Okay. His place of operation. He's there. Say he's there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So God has put all his power and all his resources within the local church. He works in and through his church. Look at Ephesians 1:19. Oh glory. Oh glory. Oh glory. Ephesians 1:19. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Okay. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward, right? Toward who? Us. You see that? That word toward eyes in the Greek, right? E-I-S, which means in. You see that? In us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and was right in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to what? The church. Do you see that? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So that exceeding greatness is found where? In the church. Do you see that? The body of Christ. That is why it's called his shrine. Do you get it now? Say it's there. Say it's there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Okay? Paul says similarly there. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Now look at this. According to the power that works where? In us. Underline that. In us. Now who is the us? 21. To him be glory where? In the church. Hallelujah. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So the us in verse 20 is the church in verse 21. Do you see that? So, the church is now the place of all God's operations on the earth. So, everything that God does on the earth today, he does through the local assembly. I said everything. Every single thing that God will do today, he does on the earth through the local church, through the local assembly. You see that 1 Timothy 3:15, he calls it the pillar and the ground of the truth. Please turn there. 1 Timothy 3:15. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay? It says, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So this means that the church is now responsible for ensuring that the truth of God's word is established. Remember I told you that, right? We are the custodians of God's truth. That is the church. You see that? Everything he does is now what? Through the church. You see that? His power is in the church, right? Who are the custodians of his truth? The church. You see that? Everything through the church. You see that throughout the book of Acts, everything God does on the earth is through the local church. Throughout. Okay? You see that it was through the local church that missionary work took place. Okay? It was through the local church that missionary work took place. You see that it was in the local church that Paul and Barnabas received direction for ministry. Do you follow this? Do you follow this? And that's why I tell folks that I'm very weary of someone who just wakes up one morning and says, I'm a pastor. We must know where you came from. Do you get it? Who pastored you? Do you get it? We must be able to trace you. You follow that? So in the local church is where people receive direction for ministry. You follow that? We must be able to trace your ministry. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 13:1. Acts 13:1, that's where Paul and Barnabas received a direction for ministry. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, that was Paul's local church, we said, right? Okay, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul. See that? For the work to which I have called them, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they, that is the church, sent them away. Do you see that? The church was responsible for the direction. They gave them the direction, then they commissioned them. Do you see that? Okay, and you see that even as they carried out their missionary work, they would report back to the church. Do you see that? Look at Acts 14:27. It says, now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported, okay, on the line that reported, all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You see that? So direction is found in the local church. Do you see that? Ministries are brought up, grown, developed where? Within the local church. So in the New Testament, God's way of doing things is through the assembly called the local church. You see that now? You see that now? Okay? So in conclusion, we therefore see that God honors the local church. Amen? God honors the local gatherings. So must we. Okay? God has put his presence in local assemblies. Say, God's honor is on the local church. Say, God's honor is on the local church. Hallelujah. Also, we also see that God expects that the next thing after salvation is to be discipleship within a local assembly. Right? The next thing after salvation is discipleship within a local assembly. So it's not enough to just be saved. Amen? Thank God for salvation. Amen? But it's not enough to just be saved. You are saved to be trained. Do you get it? It's a cycle. You are saved, then you're trained, then you save others. Do you get it? Then you train them, they are saved, then they on and on and on and on like that. It's a cycle. And that training would occur only within the local church. You can't find it elsewhere. God has ordained it so. It will happen within the local church. A Christian must therefore find a local church and submit to its training. Do you see that now? Did you learn today? Okay, lift your hands, give God praise. Thank you. We continue from here in the next service. Hallelujah.